Take your Bibles now, if you will. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at one verse, very familiar passage, just one verse, verse 21. And I want to preach tonight on trying to make marriage work the wrong way. A lot of people trying to make it work. This is good for those who are planning to get married someday. You ought to take notes. And for those of you who are married, I think you'll find some fodder in this message to help make your marriage the kind of marriage God wants it to be. Ephesians 5:21. Glad to have my son-in-law here, David Cook. David, will you stand, please? Good to have him here with us. Thank you. He and Nicole drove in yesterday and today, and so Nicole's home with her mother. Carolyn's doing better. You wouldn't believe the kind of punishment I got verbally from men and women this morning about how that happened to her. But I'm not a wife abuser, okay? For 52 years, I've never laid a hand on her. I've thought about it. And she's thought about it, too, with a baseball bat. But she's doing better, just recuperating there at home. We're thankful it wasn't any worse. She had a great fall, a terrible fall. But we're just glad that there was no bleeding on the brain, no broken bones. And she's got a big black eye and all of that. Some of you saw that this morning. But anyway, she sends her love. And we're glad that Nicole and David changed their plans. They had a week off and they changed their plans and came out here. And we appreciate it very much. All right. This morning was a sweet little message on love. Now tonight, I'm going to get in trouble. All right. So Ephesians 5:21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's a very simple verse, but boy, it is a stick of dynamite. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When people go into marriage, this is Valentine's Day, you know, so we want to keep in tune with what the day is. But when people enter into marriage, they have great expectations in that marriage. They always do. And you ask anyone, and you counsel as a pastor, and they do have those great expectations as they go in to marriage. But something goes wrong sometimes, and now we have a very high divorce rate. Now, it's debatable as to what it really is. Some say it's now only 35%. Some say it's as high as 60%. You read different people who do different surveys. But I know one thing, it's not good, whatever it is. If it's 1%, it's not good. And we know what the Bible teaches about marriage and about staying together. And a lot of people are married, but they are staying in their marriage and they're miserable in their marriage. And may I say to you that that's not what God expects and that's not what God wants for your marriage. He does not want you to be miserable in your marriage. He wants your marriage to be something that gives great honor and glory to God. And he wants you, as I said this morning, to love one another and work all of that out. One guy said, I've got it figured out. I know how to make marriage work. He said, my wife and I eat out twice a week. She goes on Tuesday, I go on Thursday. So I don't know if that'll work or not, but you have to work on it, all right? But we know now Hollywood makes fun of the family, and you don't see any normal marriage on TV anymore if you watch any of it. It's just weird what they have done to the family, how they messed up the family. Hollywood is really Hollywood, and they really mess up what God has said about what the family really is. And they give a false foundation. You know, your marriage better be built on the right foundation. The Bible in Matthew 7 talks about two things that are built, a house that is built on two different things. One of them is a solid rock foundation, and the other is sand. And the one that is on the right foundation is the one that's going to withstand the storms that come. And I can tell you in marriages, storms are going to come. They're just going to come. You say, well, I hadn't had mine yet. Well, you will. It'll come. There'll be some problems and some challenges that are going to come. And you better be built upon the right foundation. What foundation is that? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, your marriage, your home, your life, your whole life is not built on the right foundation. You better get it on the right foundation, and the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't inspect the roof. He doesn't inspect the windows. He inspects the foundation, and the foundation had better be right, or these other things won't really matter. The foundation must be right. We know a lot about that in Texas, don't we? Now let's talk about false premise number one. False premise number one. And stay with me and take these notes home with you and think about them, meditate on them. The false premise number one is that there is marriage can have success without there being roles, R-O-L-E-S, in that marriage. That there would not be any roles in marriage. I'm not talking about the kind you eat and get fed on. I'm talking about the position, the kind of roles that people have in marriage. A marriage without roles. And you have a philosophy now, especially in our secular society, that there would be no roles in marriage. Couples strive to achieve equality in their relationship by equally, and this sounds good, but now listen to it, by equally sharing all the responsibilities, duties, and privileges. You think that sounds good, but that's not really what the Bible teaches. Really, it isn't what it teaches. Now, I'm not talking about it's wrong for men to wash dishes. I mean, I do that once in a while. I put the little deal in the thing, punch a button, and go sit down and watch Fox News. Amen? And that's the way you do that. We wash dishes. But every once in a while, you got to get them ready for the washer. What you do is you wash them, and the washer just sort of finishes the job, I think, is what it is. But the woman also, it's not wrong for her to go out and help in the garden or to weed the flower bed and those kinds of things. We're not talking about that. That's okay. But we're talking about the distinct roles that God has set up in the Word of God. And if you have no clearly defined biblical roles, there will be problems in the marriage. Sometimes people confuse equality with sameness. They confuse equality with sameness. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I am so glad. Carolyn and I are equal, but thank God we're not the same. You know, I'd hate to go around trying to kiss me all the time, that kind of thing. I'd rather kiss her, amen? And we're not the same. She's a lady that I respect and that I love, and she has an appeal to me like a woman should, and vice versa, we hope. But we are equal in the Lord according to the Bible, but we're not the same. Now, if you can't figure that out, I have some land I'd like to sell you. It's underwater. It's in Florida. But you need to be able to figure that out, that that does not mean equality, that we are all the same. So here's what happens. The world system hates that idea of roles. They don't like that. They fight it. And they don't like the fact that we have separate and distinct roles according to the Word of God. And we do have separate and distinct roles. Women in the last couple of decades have said, I can do anything a man can do. See, I told you to get quiet in this message. I can do anything a man can do. And you know, in a lot of cases, they can do what a man can do. But that's not in every case. But that doesn't mean that we're not equal in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to have clearly defined roles. And what needs to happen is the husband, listen, husbands, you need to follow the Word of God. Husbands, you need to get in the Word, know what the Word says, and then follow the Word of God. You have a distinct role that God gives you. Wives, likewise, you need to find your place in the Word of God and follow the role that God has given you as a wife in that marriage relationship. Now, God gave us each other to complement each other, not to compete with each other. In too many marriages, there is competition. And you should not have that competition. We are to complement each other. That's God's design, that we complement each other. The husband and the wife complement each other. And if you are competing in your marriage, it will never work. It will never be the kind of marriage that you would have it to be or God would have it to be. Competing just will not work. June the 9th, 1963, my wife and I got married. She chased me down, asked me if I'd marry. I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. You know, that's not true. But finally, I talked her into it. I somehow convinced her it was God's will. And I do believe 52 years later, it was God's will. But she became, let's just say it like this, my better half. And I thank God for it. And my wife did not make me incomplete, but she made me complete. And gentlemen, your wife made you complete. You may not realize it. And I want to tell you tonight that men have needs. And it's not just sexual needs. Men have all kinds of needs emotionally. And if you have courage enough to admit that, men, you'll be better off. Men have needs. I had needs. And my wife meets needs in my life that no other person on the face of the earth could do and meet, period. It's my wife. And that's the way it should be. She meets those needs. And by God's grace, I'm able to meet her needs in her life. And so what it's called is completeness, not competing with each other. Now, if you have marriage without the solid biblical roles being defined and going by those things, then you have some problems. Now, some of these things sound good, I'm fixing to mention, but now just wait until I finish and say what I'm saying, and don't judge it too early. Marriage without roles. And that would be that both pursue careers of your choice. Both, that sounds good. Parenting, you share equally the duties involved in parenting. Feeding, diapers, bedtime stories, baths, all of those things. And then you decide that you'll split the household chores 50-50. That all sounds good. In decision making, you both have a say and nobody has the final decision. Did you know that's not God's plan? That is not God's plan. It's all right to have some input. But you, if you have a monster that has two heads, that's exactly what it is. A body, rather. It's a monster. And so God has set it up the way God set it up. And then in finances, you have His finances and her finances. My checkbook and His checkbook. That's not the way God designed it in the marriage. And I know I'm plowing pretty close. But that is not the way God designed it in marriage. Remember, now we're talking about roles. We're not talking about chores. You know, the wife says, well, he's a male chauvinist. He never does the dishes. He never does any of the ironing. He never does any of those things. We're not talking about chores. We're talking about God-given roles. You've heard the quote, this quote, men do the yard work, women do the hard work. You women like that? Men do the yard work, the women do the hard work. And a man's work is from sun to sun, a woman's work is never done. And a whole lot of that is really true. But how many of you women, and don't raise your hand, I don't want you to raise your hand, you work outside of the home. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. You work outside. Well, let's go ahead and do that. How many of you women work outside of the home? I know you work in the home. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand. You work outside of the home. All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. And I'm glad that you do that as the need is there. And I have some very deep convictions about when children are very younger, but if you work outside of the home, and that's the way you have to do it to make ends meet, and the circumstances allow for that, there's nothing wrong with the men helping at the house. Now, you young men, you guys who hadn't been married very long, listen to what I'm telling you. It won't hurt you to help your wife with the chores at home, especially if she works outside of the home. She sort of has double duty in that relationship, and you should do that. I counseled a couple. They were in full-time Christian work. And they came. They were from about 50 miles from here. And they had gotten acquainted with them and the husband and fellowship meeting and some different things. And they called, wanted to come and talk to him. And I talked to him. And basically it got down to the fact that her husband was so busy and she was so reamed out emotionally and physically And he was giving so much time, and it sounds spiritual, but he was giving actually too much time to making a name for himself in church work. He said, well, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is possible. And I can show you, and these preachers here can show you a lot of crashes that have happened because of that. But when they got that straightened out, and when he got some of that straightened out, thank God, they worked it out, and they're doing real well. And a couple of years have gone by, and I praise God for it. And here's why that's important, young guys and men, to help your wives out. Because of this, happy wife, what? Happy life. Amen. You say, well, that's not the great motivation. Well, maybe not. But most importantly is it's simply right. It's simply right. And if you want a happy wife, it's not a bad thing to do. Happy wife, happy life. So we have marriage without roles. Now, if you have marriage without biblical roles, it makes no sense organizationally. Makes no sense organizationally. If you have a marriage without roles. You see, our God is a God of honor. And our God is a God of order. And our God is a God of structure. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:40. Listen to this. This would help all of us probably. Let all things be done decently and in what? In order. Let all things, including your marriage, be done decently and in order. Colossians 2:5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding what? Paul said, I'm joying and beholding your O-R-D-E-R, your order in that church, and your steadfastness of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Titus 1:5 says this, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. I'm simply making the point that God is a God of order. Whether it be in the church or government or whether it be in the home, God is a God of order. By the way, if you don't start your day with God, you won't have much order in your day. The best thing for you to do if you want to have good order in your day is to start your day on your knees or start your day praying and calling on God, and then you're apt to have good order in your life and no doubt in your marriage. Now, Satan is the author of confusion, isn't he? He wants to confuse you. He didn't want order. He didn't want order in the home. He didn't want order in the church. He loves a marriage without roles, because if you have a marriage without biblical roles, then you have an organizational nightmare in that marriage. There's no way around it. We have to do what God says to do. Marriage without roles is a recipe for strife. Marriage without roles is a recipe for envying. Marriage without roles is a recipe for absolute confusion in the home. We have to have those roles. A lot of time, in the pastoring of the 45 years of pastoring, people would come to me for counseling, of course. And as I would counsel them, it would be pretty obvious to me that they'd almost waited too late by the time they got to me. By the way, if you have some challenges in your marriage, go to the pastor. He's bored. He didn't have much to do. He'd like to counsel you. Amen? Just call him on the phone and tell him you want to set up an appointment. He will arrange for you to be counseled, but don't wait. Get some counseling. Find out what the Word of God says about your situation. But a lot of times, I discover this when they come to me, like that couple I was telling you about a while ago. They either, number one, do not know the roles, the proper biblical roles, or number two, they know them, they just don't do them. And either one of those causes problems. A marriage without roles makes little sense organizationally. It's not going to work. Marriage without roles contradicts the plain teaching of the Word of God. The plain, obvious teaching of the Word of God. And the Bible points time and time again to distinct roles. Instead, in our culture, instead of diminishing gender, and there's really an attack to do that, but instead of diminishing gender, we need some distinctions. There doesn't need to be the blending of the genders. In fact, the Bible insists on recognizing the gender differences. The Bible insists on that. Genesis 1:27, elementary, 101, the course. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. What's the rest of it? Male, amen, and female created he them. Who did that? God did. God intended for there to be a major difference. And God created woman, woman, man, man. This same sex deal will never work because it violates the roles that God has set down in his word. The idea of unisex and all of those things where the women try to dress like the men and the men try to dress like the women. And they, you know, that they now they have an open bathroom in California out in the open air. They just announced that the other day in one of the cities in California. In open air, you can men and women can go in and use the bathroom in open air. Not in my lifetime, brother, but I'm telling you, if that's what they want to do, of course, that's California. Now, if you're from California originally, I'm sorry. But never mind. We'll get off of that. But I want to tell you, the Bible insists on gender distinctions. Amen? Am I right about that? The Bible insists on gender distinctions, not blending them. And you will be confused if you try to do anything else. It will not work. Did you know the highest suicide rate, it is higher among those who have had sex change, the highest suicide rate today, those who have had sex change. I used to see a man on the box of Wheaties who was a good athlete. I won't call his name because this is live streaming and I might get in trouble, but Bruce, what was his name? But he, Bruce, thank you, Brother Rigsby. Did you know that last year he was voted by Glamour magazine as Woman of the Year? Woman of the Year. I saw some of that interview in one of those little videotapes they have as I was looking up something about him. I'm going to tell you something. You talk about problem with the kids. I'm going to tell you why the kids are having problems. The adults. That's why kids are having problems. It's the so-called adults. What they need to do, everybody needs to go back out on a farm and out around the barnyard and find out how God set it up with gender distinction. And in Genesis 2, he's talking about Eve and Adam. And he gave Eve to complement Adam. Not to be a problem, but to complement Adam and to complete Adam. And that was God's completion in the days of creating things. This was God's completion. I don't think God created anything. You ladies will like this, but I believe this is true. He created nothing more perfect than a woman. You say, what about Jesus? Jesus was not created. He was not created. But I don't know of anything that God created any more perfect than a woman. Adam named her woman. Amen? And God looked at Adam and said, I can do better than this. So he made a woman. And Adam called her woman. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how God did that, took that rib from his side and he woke up? Whoa, man, he said. Look at her. Go ahead and laugh. It won't hurt you. Look at her. Whoa, man. Maybe that's where we got it. I don't think that's how it worked. 1970s, the women's liberation movement really took on steam. And they started screaming for equality and everything. The result, I want to tell you the result, women, it downgraded the role of women in our society, and it has helped wreck many a home because of getting outside of what God said is the right roles in the family. And maleness and femaleness are not popular with the world. They don't care about that. They want to get rid of that gender distinction. So false premise number one is marriage without roles. Secondly, false premise is the traditional marriage as we would know it. We think that's the right one. What am I talking about? The Leave It to Beaver model. Leave It to Beaver model. Think about it. Some of you have no clue. You young couples, Leave It to who? Leave It to Beaver? I don't know. I haven't watched any modern television much, so I don't know what the families are. All in the Family, all that kind of junk that's on there. But what happened then was Father began to work long hours. The mother stayed at home, cared for the home and the children. And a lot of people thought that that was the biblical model. And now they're thinking, let's return to the good old days of the 50s and the 60s. But during that period of time, there were a lot of absentee fathers. And Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And a lot of men were parking their families in a suburb, going into the city and working, earning a living, and in many ways devaluing the women's role. And neither were they esteemed or really challenged in those roles. And God has a balance for that in His economy. There was something called mutual tolerance. What do you mean by that? Well, they said men go out and have fun with the boys, go out and get drunk, go out and gamble a little, go out and party a little bit, and that's all right. And it was really a basic misuse of the marriage. And that filtered into our society during that time. And too often today, marriage is a contract. It's simply a contract to those who are married. The divorce rate, listen to this, you won't hardly believe this, but it's true. The divorce rate is highest among those who are 50 to 65. Why is that? Those who are 50 years of age to 65 years of age, the highest rate of divorces among that group. And one of the reasons is they've said that they have a contract, they stick it out, they stay together until the kids get out of school, until they get out of college, and then they divorce. That's not God's plan for that. There is, according to the Bible, a true foundational biblical alternative that God has given us to do what God tells us to do. And the roles address one's responsibility. The roles talk about it. It doesn't mean that one is superior and one is inferior. I want to be sure you understand that. Both have equal value to God and importance. But there is a responsibility in the rank and the way God set it up. Look at Luke, if you will. Turn there just a second, if you can. Luke chapter 22. And we have a verification of that, an example of that, Luke chapter 22, and drop down to verse 24. Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. I'm going to give you a good lesson here tonight. I hope you get it right here. It'll help your marriage. It'll help in any relationship you have on the face of the earth. Any relationship. And there was also strife among them, verse 24 says, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. We're not like the world. We're not like those in the world. But he that is greatest among you, watch it here, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth what? Serve. Serve. That's a way to really gain prestige with your wife or your mate, is to learn to have something that I'm afraid we've missed a lot of times, and that is a servant's heart. It's called, men, listen, servant leadership. Servant leadership. It's called, women, servant leadership. Leadership and servant roles. And leadership, servant leadership, always produces servant leadership. Think about it. Servant leadership always produces servant leadership. And so that's what God says about the whole thing. There are two genders, two different roles. There are two functions. These functions are uniquely different. Both of these functions are critical to the family and the family working the way God wants it to do. Now, a lot of men know how to exploit or intimidate the women. They don't know much about how to lead as a servant leader. You know, some men say, well, I walk in and I put my foot down and that's it. Bless God. Yeah, I do too. And I wait till Carolyn says, clean your feet off, and then I walk on in the house, you know. But we have a hard line thinking of some of that. And many men know how to exploit and intimidate. Many wives, unfortunately, have buried their natural God-given instincts of nurturing. They've done that to protect themselves, to protect their children. They don't want to depend on men who exploit them, and there's too much of that. They abuse them. They sometimes exploit them, abuse them, and then abandon them. God have mercy on someone who would do that. And then the results of all of that is fear increases among those women. And intimacy always decreases when you don't have the right roles and you don't understand servant leadership. And when they do that, the Bible says that women naturally have a right to feel that they have lost some of that freedom. But they need to get back to do what's instinctive. That is nurture, love, help, and support. And there are a lot of other things I could say, but our time's up, but let's just simply close it by saying this. It is a matter of biblical roles. And ladies, if you don't understand that, you're not going to have a happy marriage. And men, if you don't understand that, you're not going to have an ideal or happy marriage. Not only a marriage, but a happy marriage, an ideal marriage, a God-honoring marriage. There must be the honoring of God's way of setting up the roles in the family. And we get back to the bottom line, and that is the foundation of that home better be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, in every area of your life, you don't have the right foundation, especially in the matter of marriage. Let's stand, please. In a moment, we're going to have our invitation. If God's spoken to you about something, you want to pray about it. And I know that's pretty obvious and pretty straight tonight, but whatever it may be another relationship, I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you want a happy marriage and a happy home, you do what God says, the way God says, and you'll have the joy of the Lord, the blessing of God on your marriage. And I think that's what all of us want. Father, thank you that the Bible is very clear about genders, very clear about the role of the man, the role of the woman. We're thankful that we're equal in Christ. We've been saved by the grace of God. And we know that we're going to go to heaven. We know that we're your children. You love us equally. But we know you've set up the roles. And help us to get that right and to practice it. And if we begin to drift away from it, to get right back to it, so that you might bless the marriages and the homes. For we know, as the homes go in our churches and in our country, so goes the country, so goes our churches. May you bless us and help us. If there's someone here without Christ, I pray tonight they'd be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing Hymn of Invitation. If you have a prayer need.